You are listening to the ARB podcast. Tune in as you stir yourself up by filling your ears with the anointed messages of faith as you strengthen your spirit at any time of day. And we'll see you on the other side of faith.
Acts chapter 1. We'll read verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, one of the things I love about the scripture, if you read any scripture in the Bible, wherever it talks about the power of God, it always talks about the purpose for which the power was received. The power is never given without purpose. And unfortunately, a lot of the Christian ministries and churches today have received the Holy Spirit and kept him locked in their own metaphorical cage and just sitting around singing kumbaya, doing illustrative sermons, drinking their soy latte, sitting on a stool, you know, acting like, you know, they're doing a TED talk. I mean, that's not why God gave us the power. God gave us the power so that we can break open hard places to occupy till he comes. That's why we were given the power. The power is never given without a purpose. That's what I want you, and I want you to comment that down below. The power is never given without a purpose. The power is never given without a purpose. I did say Acts 1:8. Pay attention. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And why was the power given? And you shall be a witness to me. The power is given to witness. The power is not given to sit behind four walls of a church and do nothing. The power is given to go out on the streets, to go out to the places where sin is most rampant, and to release the words of power into the atmosphere for signs and wonders and miracles to be performed. Because the only answer for the world right now is a powerful church. And if a church does not carry the power of God, it's useless. Now think about it. If ever there was a need for the power of God, it's now. People are looking for an answer. People are looking for a hope. And that's what I saw in Los Angeles when I had the crusade in Los Angeles. I saw people coming in from all over. People hungry for the power of God. By the last night, we had, 704 people by the last night of the service on Sunday night, which was unheard of. This was in the middle of lockdown. This was in a city where social distancing, mask mandates were necessary and things like that. People had to wear masks and all that. But in our crusade, we didn't have a single person wearing a mask. And even if they did, by the end of each service, people took off their masks and threw it and left it in the service. Because masks represent fear. But when you preach the power of God, and when you show the people the visible signs of the power of God, they're not going to be afraid of freaking coronavirus or anything the government has to throw at them. Why? Because they know the power is real. We had Roman Catholics coming to the service and getting healed of their deafness, miracles and signs and wonders breaking out. People have never experienced the power of God for the first time, miracles breaking out. That's why crowds grew. Somebody asked me, what kind of publicity did you do to like bring the crowds in? Listen, the first night, we barely had about 110 people. From 110 people, we almost grew to 704 people by the last night. How do you think that happened? Great publicity? Great marketing strategy? The only strategy that I had for that meeting was the power of God. The raw, unadulterated, simple power of God. That's all it took to pack that place out. So you don't have to try and think about different strategies to serve God. Even the young people today are always trying to look around for, you know, who can I tag myself along with so that I can gain mileage. It's not about that. If you go after God and the power of God, you will have crowds wherever you go. I go to like interior cities in India where nobody knows who I am, who nobody even knows who Jesus is. I'll tell you a story. I went to a crusade in India, and we were driving down with my team, and I stopped the car, and I just walked down to get a bottle of water. And obviously, my posters were around the city and everything. And I went to buy a bottle of water. And the guy at the shop looked at me and looked at the poster. He looked at me and looked at the poster. He looked at me and looked at the poster. And he said, "Are you that guy?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And he's like, "Are you Jesus that they keep talking about?" And I'm like, no, I'm Ankit. I'm coming to preach here. And he's like, then who's Jesus? And I said, come tonight to this career setting. You'll find out who Jesus is. So I've been to places where people don't even know who Jesus is. And we've seen hundreds and thousands of people show up in our crusades. You've seen our videos. I mean, just this year, what we played today just before this broadcast are not services from, 7 years ago. This was in 2020, in the middle of the lockdown. Those were the crowds that we had in 2020, in the middle of the lockdown. We never slowed down. Why? Because we had the power of God operating through our ministry. So the answer is the power of God. If you want to grow your ministry in this situation, it's the power of God. No amount of marketing is going to work. People are actually kind of happy sitting at home watching people's live broadcasts because, it's the same thing as going to a church. What difference does it make? Why should people come to a service when they can just watch you online? What difference does it make? The only reason people will be drawn to a meeting now, in this hour, is if you carry the power of God. And if you don't, forget about doing ministry. You might as well go and just become a TV show host. And I doubt anybody would have you anyway. Mic drop. No. Anyway. I want to read another scripture to you. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. I'm trying to make a point today. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Actually, read from verse 17. Luke 10, 17. Then the 70 turned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now, what were the disciples doing? They're casting out demons. And what did Jesus say? He saw Satan fall from lightning. Fall like lightning. But now let me tell you, this is what I find funny. You think if you just preached a very pretty little sermon that made everybody feel better, do you think Satan will fall like lightning? He's probably like hanging out in the service like, oh, that was a pretty great message. I kind of like that. What did you think, Beelzebub? So, I think in pictures, so. Anyway. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, that nothing shall any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that their spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, why did Jesus give them power? Why did he give them authority? He gave them authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Not without, there was a purpose attached to it. Every time God empowers you to do something, he empowers you to do something with it. I always tell people this, if you don't use what you have, you will lose what you have. The oil will only continue to flow as long as you keep pouring it. If you stop pouring it, the oil will become stagnant. The oil needs to be flowing always. Why does the Bible say it? The rivers of living water will flow? It's not the pond of the living water. It's the rivers of living water. If it was a pond, then it would be stale and stinky like most Christians are today. Like most churches are today. You go to them, listen to the same old sermons. Oh, my brother, Jesus loves you. It doesn't matter what you're going through. He'll always stand by you. No, listen, that's not what the church needs right now. The church needs the power. The world needs the power. And that's what I saw in Los Angeles. People came hungry for the power of God. You know why people run to the new age and, black magic, and why people are so attracted to the Harry Potter movies or, anything got to do with magic or even superhero movies? You know why people are attracted to those things and why superhero movies do so well? Because every Christian is born with an innate desire for the power, for the supernatural. And that's why people run to these superhero movies. That's why people watch these superhero movies, because they have that desire for the supernatural. Why? Every person born is born in the image of God. Yes, the devil corrupted the image, but that doesn't change the fact that you are made in the character of God. And we are made to carry the power of God. And that's why we have such a desire for the power. But unfortunately, the new age witch doctors and whatever you may call them, shamans and these gurus and babas are doing so well. Why do you think they are? It's because they carry the demonic power. And they demonstrate those demonic powers, which attracts people. And meanwhile, here we are, Christians, doing sermons about Alexa. I mean, man, are you kidding me? The day you ever see me start preaching an illustrative sermon or sitting on a stool and preaching, please know that my ministry is dead and has been dead for a while. Because when you're filled with the power of God, you can't sit around on a stool. Like for me, even sitting down on this table is difficult. And the only reason I'm doing this is because like I have to teach and I have a camera here and I can't keep running around this whole place. But when you have the power of God trapped and shut in your bones, you can't keep quiet. And that's why I keep slamming these tables all the time. I remember talking to Evangelist Reinhard Bonnke before he passed away. And I asked him a question. I said, why do you always use those wired mics and I'm always using these, handheld wireless mics? And immediately one of the assistants responded and he said, the reason we give him those wired mics is because they're way stronger. I said, what do you mean? He's like, every time Evangelist Reinhard uses a wireless mic, he gets so enthusiastic, excited about his message that it breaks and the batteries fall out. So he's like, that's why we always give them a wired mic, because they're stronger. What am I trying to say? I'm not saying you have to be like overly, overly energetic or expressive. But I am saying that when you're excited about something, when you have the power of God on the inside of you, you can't sit quiet. You're not going to be a preacher who's just going to give somebody an illustrative sermon and just, oh, my dear friend. It's not going to be like that. You're going to shout it from the mountaintops when you believe in something, Another scripture I'm going to read to you, 1 Corinthians 4:20. Actually, from verse 18. Now, this is to most of these preachers who don't have the power. You're not going to survive this time of Joseph R. Biden. Most of you might end up doing gay marriages because you took money from the government during that time. And if not, they'll shut down your 501c3. What are you going to do if you don't have a 501c3? Do you have enough faith to pay your taxes and keep running your ministry? And if you don't, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Anyway, probably should stop saying that. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 4, we'll read verse 18. And this is for you. And let me tell you, I'm not criticizing you. I probably am. But what I'm trying to say is, this is a time of redemption for you. I'm giving you this opportunity to turn away from the way you've been doing things and set yourself right. We have one more day before Biden takes presidency, and I hope a miracle happens. But if it doesn't, what are you going to do? You better set yourself right now before things go downhill and get ready to face things and have the power of God to do the things that you need to be doing and not just sit around and just like, now I'm just going to shut down my church and I'm going to, go start a soy latte center or something. I don't know what gay people do. Am I homophobic? No. That would mean that I'm afraid of homosexuals. I'm not homophobic. I love the sinner. I hate the sin. It is what it is. All right. 4:18. Now, some are puffed up, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills. And I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love and a spirit of gentleness? Now, let me ask you this question. The word, the power, I'm telling you, the word carries the power. You can't separate the word from its power. And when Paul said word, he didn't mean the word of God. He means the words of man's wisdom. Don't be puffed up with your own understanding. Because you can preach a great message from Hebrew and from the Dakes and from whatever you want. But if you don't carry the power of God, everything that you do is absolutely futile. Because the only thing that changes the lives of people is the power of God. And that's why the Bible says what it says. For the kingdom of God is not in talking, but in power. People talk a lot, you know. And I've seen, you know, Facebook and Instagram pages dedicated to the revivals of old, which is great. You know, I love looking at revival history. I enjoy revival history. I'm a student of revival history myself, and I love reading and watching and everything. But I don't look at the past and sit around and be like, oh, back in those days, things were so amazing. No, I go after God and be like, God, imbue me with power so that I may do what they did and more than what they did. Because my pinnacle of power is not A. Allen or Catherine Kuhlman, although it's great looking at those people. My pinnacle of power is Jesus Christ himself. Because Christ himself said, you can do what I did and more than what I did. So I'm aiming to do what more than Christ did. And that's not pride, that's humility. Because that's what Christ said, you can do it. If he says you can do it, that means I can do it. I love what Smith Wigglesworth said. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. I don't question what the word of God says. If Jesus said I can do it, that means I can do it. Bottom line. That's why a lot of people know how to talk. A lot of people have great sermons to preach, but they don't have any power. The answer to the world's issues is not a great sermon. It's a sermon combined with the power of God that will work a transformation in the lives of the hearers. Without the Holy Spirit, you can do nothing. And the Holy Spirit does not come upon you without a purpose. The anointing does not come upon you without a purpose. It comes with the purpose to be a witness. Because I'm just annoyed at certain preachers today. I mean, you know, it's like, it frustrates me. Now the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. Again, you know, this is why I love Paul so much. He was a man who was well-learned, who studied under Gamaliel, who was a scholar, who was an intelligent Jew. He had every right to boast in his own wisdom, understanding his own intellect. But you know what Paul said? I count them all as dung for the sake of knowing Christ. That means until and unless you learn to throw away your own understanding of things, be like, oh, I know everything. No, you don't. If you don't carry the power, don't come and talk to me about what you know from the Word of God. I promise you, I've studied the Word in and out. I've been studying the Bible from the time I was 3 years old. So I'm not a wordless person. Obviously, I'm pulling out so many scriptures for you, so obviously I know the Word. But it's not enough to preach the Word. The Word has to be combined with the power. You know, I was telling God, I was praying, I said, Lord, you know, I've seen all these different revivals over the years. You know, what's going to separate our ministry from everything else? And this is what the Lord said to me. Your ministry is not just going to be a ministry that's going to teach the Word and preach the Word. It's going to be based on the Word. But your ministry is going to carry a twofold thing. The Word and my power. And as it goes, it will pierce through the most difficult places and you will see a breakthrough. The Word and the power have to go together, hand in hand. You cannot separate one from the other. Oh, I preach the Word. Yeah, but the Word needs to be combined with the Spirit. Otherwise, it's just mere talk. You're just a clanging cymbal. All right. 1 Corinthians 2, 5. Actually, we'll read from verse 4. 1 Corinthians 2, 4. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I mean, how do you read so much from the Bible and from the Word of God and still dismiss the power of God? I remember I went to Moravian Falls to preach in North Carolina, and I had a massive meeting. And we had a tent crusade up in Moravian Falls, and I was preaching there, and a church, I'm not going to take the name of the church, but they sent word to their congregation. Their last name of the church is Star. Figure it out. Anyway, Moravian Falls. And they sent word to the congregation saying, oh, all those miracles are demonic. They're not from God. So none of you should go to the service. Guess what? Everybody from their church came to my service. There was another Methodist pastor who came to the service. And he hated the power of God. And I was laying hands on people. And I didn't even know he was Methodist. He came actually to kind of make fun of me to see what's going on. So he came. As I was laying hands on everybody, I went and laid hands on him. He fell under the power of God. And he got up and he was like, I don't know what just happened. But tomorrow I'm going to bring my entire church to the service. But how do you think that happens? By the power of God alone. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit. What happened to people who not only preached the word, but demonstrated the word? It's great to preach about Bartimaeus and how God opened the eyes of Bartimaeus. Fantastic. It's great to talk about how Peter and John were the gate called Beautiful and said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we have we give to you. Rise up and walk. And the man rises up and walks. It's great to hear about the story of the widow of Nain, whose son Jesus raised from the dead. It's great to hear the story about Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. It's great to read about all these stories. But it's just another story from another storybook if you don't demonstrate it with the power of God. What else? And that's what Moses said. You know, if your presence doesn't go with me, what else will separate me from them except your presence? The demonstration of the power of God is what is required in the church today. And may you be encouraged to go out for the things of God. The only place where the Bible says covet, the word covet is used. Covet the spiritual gifts earnestly, brethren. You can covet and go after these spiritual gifts because they're available for every Christian to access. We cannot just preach the just mere words and tell people great stories. Preach it and demonstrate it. That's what we're called to do. Preach, teach, and heal. Preach, teach, and demonstrate. That's why we're called. That's why we're here. Now, imagine this. You preach about Bartimaeus, and a blind guy starts seeing in your service. The Bible comes alive. You preach, and a man who's been paralyzed for 38 years suddenly starts walking. The Bible comes alive from the pool of Bethesda. Can you? And that's why the demonstration of the Word of God is so important. Don't ever undermine, whatever you undermine in your life and from the Word of God, you will not have it in your life. Whatever you speak against, you will not have it. That's why I tell a lot of people, even if you don't like the message of prosperity, don't ever speak against it, or God will just make you poor and says that's what you want, so be poor. Don't ever speak against the power of God, because if you do, you will never have the power of God in your life. Don't ever speak against a ministry that's flying in a private jet, because if you do, you'll never have a private jet in your life. The same guy who says, oh, I don't like this guy flying in a private jet. But to the same guy, you go to him and say, hey, you want to take a ride with me in my private jet? Like, oh, heck yes. Thank you for the opportunity. Find me one guy who will say no to a private jet. I'm pretty sure there aren't anybody out there. What am I trying to say? Don't be a hypocrite. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. If you believe it, say an amen and comment an amen down below. All right, I'm going to read one more scripture to you. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, and I'll read from verse 38. Now, one more thing people don't understand about the anointing. What is the anointing? Anointing is not touch and you fall. You know, Benny Hinn popularized that. You want the anointing? You want the anointing? Take it. That's not how it works. And I love Benny Hinn. I'm not saying anything against him. I'm just saying that that's not what anointing is. The word anointing means authority. That means when Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, that means the Spirit of the Lord is the power imbued on you. Okay? Then he has anointed me. That means he has given me authority. That means the Spirit of the Lord, I mean the power of God has been put upon me, and the authority has been given to me to set the captives free. That's what the scripture actually means. So the anointing actually means authority. So God gives you the authority, but not authority without a purpose. A king is given the authority to be a king, to make decisions for that nation on behalf of those people because they saw him worthy enough to make the decisions for the good of everybody else. That's why a king is anointed to be a king. He's imbued with authority. All right. Verse 38. How God anointed, that means given authority, to Jesus of Nazareth. Okay, read this carefully. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Holy Spirit and with power. Who went about. What did Jesus do? He was given the Holy Spirit and power. And then the Bible says he went about. He didn't sit around and be like, So, Peter, come here. Today I'm going to do a magic trick for you. Bring me a glass of water. I'm going to turn it to wine. And Peter's like, whoa, amazing. Look, all these so-called puffed up preachers, all they have is just a bunch of groupies who just clap at everything that they do when they fart, when they burp, you know. That's not what it's about. A true man or woman of God carries the power of God to change lives, to transform the lives of people, to bring them out of situations that they have been trapped in for years. He has anointed me to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted, to raise the dead, to cleanse the leper, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He has anointed you with a purpose. Don't make the word of God and the Spirit of God with none effect because of your cowardice. God does not anoint cowards. You know why most people don't see power of God? If you see a ministry doesn't carry the power of God, it's because they're a bunch of cowards. And I'll say it as it is. You don't carry the power, then you're a coward. Why? Because God will never anoint a coward. He only backs up bold people. And even this time, even if Joe Biden wins, who cares? There's still a God in heaven. There's still a God sitting on that throne. And the Bible says, he who sits in the heavens laughs. God looks at all of us and he laughs. You're stressed out. God's not stressed out. And neither am I stressed out. You know why I'm not stressed out? Because I look at the one sitting on that throne and I know I am bold enough, and every time I take a step of faith, the one sitting on that throne will look at me and smile and say, there is my son whom I am well pleased in. And he will back me up every single time. God does not back up the words of a coward. He only backs up the words of a man of authority who is fearless. The greatest thing that have happened in the Bible have happened through the people who have been bold. Joshua stopped the sun. How did he stop the sun? He didn't go quietly and pray in a corner. He prayed in front of everybody. He knew who his God was and he acted accordingly. Elijah, when he called fire down from heaven, with honest, I'm just reading the Bible, telling you as what it says. It's as simple as that. And if you're hurt by it, it's because I'm showing you yourself in the mirror. And that's why you don't like what you see. If you don't like it, change it. Then you have the opportunity to change. It's never too late to change it. There have been times when I've made mistakes. And I've been at fault. And I've been sometimes, I can't really say I've been a coward. I've never been really a coward in my life. I've actually always been bold about the things of God. But it's fine, even if you've not been bold. You can repent. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. But Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. You think Jesus didn't know that Peter was going to deny him? Obviously he knew it. But he said it even though he knew that he was going to deny him, he still said to Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and not the rock of Peter. That's a whole different thing. The Catholic Church thinks Peter is the Pope, blah, blah, blah. Peter couldn't be the Pope. Why couldn't he be the Pope? Because Peter had a mother-in-law, so obviously he can't be the Pope, and the priest obviously cannot be married. So your whole theory that the Catholic Church is based on falls over right there. Anyway, moving on from that. But Jesus still knew that Peter was going to deny him. But still, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. That means upon the rock of faith I'll build my church. So even if you made that mistake, it's fine. You can still turn your life around. You can say, Lord, forgive me, for I've been fearful. Forgive me, for I've been a coward. Now put that holy boldness on the inside of me so I may do what you have asked me to do. And if you do that today, I promise you, the power of God will come upon you with a purpose. And you'll fulfill and execute everything that heaven has for you and through you. God always raised somebody up for the sake of the people. It's not because you're special. It's not because I'm special. It's because God loved his people that he chose you. I'm probably not God's first choice anyway. I mean, look at me. A skinny brown Indian picked to serve God. I mean, I was probably like number 155 of the people that God picked, and everybody else rejected him, and I was all that was left, and God picked me. So I understand that I'm not special. I understand that I'm not anything. But he has anointed me with the power to do good, to heal all those that are oppressed by the devil. God has given us the power with a purpose. And this is our final stand. I'm telling you, this is our final hour to occupy, to do what God has asked us to do, to say what he needs, what we need to say. And may that holy boldness come upon you. If that fire has ever died out, today is the day. May the Lord light those fires on the inside of you one more time. May he set you ablaze. Like Pastor Rodney says, may he dip you in the kerosene of the Holy Ghost and light you up with fire. And may everybody that you meet grab that fire. May revival break out across the nation of America, across the nation of India. And the Lord has great things for you. There's somebody who's watching me. You're a pastor. Just last night, you thought about committing suicide because you were done with the way your ministry was and the way things have been going so far. But the Lord wants you to know he is not done with you yet. If you're still breathing, it's because he has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. May he set you ablaze right now with a new fire. And may he use you to turn the lives of people around. You're not done yet. You're not done yet. You have a long journey ahead of you. So get up, dust yourself off, and do what the Lord has asked you, and you will see such a great increase this year. If you're that preacher, comment down below or just email us at partners@ankitrumbo.org, and we'll get in touch with you, and we want to build you, help you, and train you up. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing upon me today. Reko soprete kemata. Mahande robro sokrebe. I'm going to pray for everybody today before I close, for the fire of God to come upon you today. But even as we're here right now, I want to give you an opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. We're about to hit New York with a crusade in February. And right after that, we are heading to North Carolina, to Nicaragua. Then we're going to be in India, in Pune, in August. August 13th, 14th, and 15th, we're going to be in Pune for a crusade. So I'm excited about that. That's going to be the first crusade in India. I'm very excited about that. August 13th, 14th, and 15th. And then this year is packed up, and we're spending all our own money doing our own thing. You know, so as the Lord leads you, I want you to stand with us. We have a massive budget this year. And as the Lord leads you, go out and sow a seed. You know, anybody who wants to sow over $10,000, you can email us at partners@ankitramo.org or contact us through our website, arbministries.com. And we'll get all the details to you to how you can transfer the money. And if you're in the United States, I encourage you to sow a seed today, because everything that comes in today is going to go into America, into the Crusades, and everything that we're going to do this year. May the Lord lead you to do something substantial today. The Lord's been speaking to many of you to do something for a very long time, but you continue to just push that thought away. But today, make the decision. I promise you, as you sow in this time of famine, in the same year, you'll reap a 100-fold reward. Finally, let me tell you this. Anybody who sows $10,000 or more into our ministry today, we're going to bring you to a crusade of our choosing, all expenses paid, hotel, flights, and everything, to be a part of our ministry team and everything, to spend time with us, be a part of the crusade, and see how the crusade is done and everything else. So as the Lord leads you, go ahead and sow a seed. You can also sow through your Cash App. $ARB Ministries is our Cash App. That's how you can sow. $ARB Ministries. That's how you can sow. We love you. And may the Lord lead you to do something today. And I promise you, your life will never be the same. So make that decision today. Stand with us as we take the gospel to the ends of the earth. If you can't go and preach, at least send those who are going to preach. There's no greater way to receive salvation into your own family other than investing to somebody else's salvation. The only thing that makes the heart of God glad and happy is winning souls. That's what we're doing. And our ministry is always busy doing that. So as the Lord leads you, go ahead and sow a seed. And I promise you'll be blessed. You're not sowing because we need, it's because the Lord will bless you. There's another way to sow a seed, actually. You can actually go to our Facebook and hit the blue Shop Now button. The blue Shop Now button on our Facebook. It'll redirect you to the page to sponsor, and you can just sow a seed through that. Thank you for sowing. Thank you for standing with us. Thank you for standing with our ministry and partnering with us. And I promise you, your life will never be the same. Every eye be closed, every hand be lifted high up. Let me pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, even now, I pray for everybody that's watching us today. May your fire touch them right now. Set them ablaze in the name of Jesus. Dip them in the kerosene of the Holy Spirit and light them on fire one more time in the name of Jesus. I pray that you will imbue them with the power of God with a purpose. Not only put the power upon them, Father, the anointing upon them, but I pray, Lord, may you also put upon them the wisdom. May you also put upon them the purpose. May them see that purpose clearly of what they need to do. Empower them with a purpose, O Lord, Father God. I pray that not one person on the sound of my voice will ever be a lukewarm Christian. That every one of them will be lit ablaze with the fire of the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord Father, even for those people who feel like they've lost all hope today. I pray, Lord God, even if they have made mistakes and have been cowards, I pray that today you will turn their lives around. And you'll put in them that holy boldness, that every time that they speak, all of heaven will back them up in Jesus' name. I pray that your power will be made manifest in and through their lives. Even in these times that we're going to be living in, I pray, O Lord God, that your hand, may it be stretched forth, Father God. May there be undeniable signs and wonders being performed that the people of the world be unable to deny it. I pray, Father, that you will place upon them wisdom and ideas to occupy till you come in the name of Jesus. That you will give them wisdom and ideas for business or multi-billion dollar businesses, Father God. I pray that you'll raise up an army of millionaires and multi-millionaires to shake this nation and the nations of the earth. I thank you, Lord, that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. And I pray that everyone that sowed a seed into our ministry today, may you multiply it 100-fold and more. May them never lack as long as they shall live. May them overflow mentally, physically, emotionally, in love, in joy, in peace, and prosperity all the days of their lives. I pray you will multiply the seed that they have sown and increase the fruits of their righteousness. May they have an abundance for every good work. I thank you, Lord God, for the great things that you're about to do in and through their lives. I send them into the fullness of your purpose. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You all are such a blessing to me and to our ministry. And we appreciate every single one of you. And just know that we as a ministry, we love you with all our heart. Thank you so much for joining us today. And like I always say, we'll see you on the other side of faith. God bless you. Good night.
If you've been blessed by our podcast, connect with us online at www.ankithrambabu.org for more information. Email us at partners@ankithrambabu.org to sponsor our meetings or crusades, enabling yourself to reap the same rewards.